Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again this week, and I hope all's going well with you. And today we are actually just about around the corner is July 4th. So even though you may be listening to this at a different time of the year because we have so many download listeners, we are going to do a little bit of a Independence Day celebration today. And lots and lots of people are getting ready for festivities. And then I know there's a lot of people that actually are, going through some hard times. And we'd like to dedicate the show today to our veterans and get into history. And then we're going to get into, let's not forget our veterans. We can all get involved. And it's really, really easy to get involved. Lots of us have really busy schedules, and things may be limited, resources, money, et cetera, time, depending on what works for you. There's a lot of ways to get involved and make a difference. And so we're going to do today and talk about it a little bit. And the call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. And we are going to get into, just take a quick break, and then come right back and dig into Independence Day in the United States. Of course, we have Independence Day celebrated in other places as well. Today we're going to basically focus on 4th of July and how it started, what's going on, the histories, that the parties and celebrations that continue year after year. And then also a little bit about the VFW, American Legion, some other ways you can get involved. Be right back.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of my class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
We are back, and this is Natalie Mullinex, and you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. Happy, happy 4th of July, and this is going on Independence Day. The Independence Day is definitely, and recently in the news we're hearing, many of us watched and read about the referendum and how the UK is pulling out of the European Union, which, of course, will take some time, and it still has to be voted on legally. It has to be gone through Parliament, et cetera. There's more to go, more to this. But I think it's just showing us how all around the world people are ready for a change. people are tired of some of the things that are going on with governments and monies and economy and et cetera. And it's we're seeing a lot of it in the U.S. We're in the election year. It's going to pan out. A lot's going to change in the next 6 months, 7 months. And I think we're seeing that constantly everywhere. And it's not easy for people to make change, is it? But we're starting to see more revolution type of change, people getting upset and angry. When you go date back and look at going back before Independence Day and look at going all the way back and when we start, when they came from England and came over to set up colonies and it started quite a long time ago in the early 1600s, late 1500s, early 1600s. And it took, from then all the way up to 1776 to actually form an Independence Day. So look at that, 169 years, even from the start of founding the first colony in the U.S., to get to Independence Day. So I think any change is progress, but we look at history and we go back and we look at the rules and people and generations and look what's going on in the Middle East, and things have gone on for years and years and years. I don't think anything's going to change drastically overnight. But what we found and where we find the core strength is when people do get together. People do take a stand. People do make a difference. A lot of people say, well, I can't make a difference. It's not going to change. Well, I'm just going to keep doing what I do. But one person can make a difference. And when we band together, we can make more of a difference. And when you go back in history, if it wasn't for people doing this in the name of freedom, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't enjoy our privileges that we enjoy in the United States that we take for granted every day. And if it wasn't for our vets going into, unfortunately, none of us want war. If it wasn't for them and going in and in the name of freedom, where would we be today? So my hat's off to everything. And I think it does take all of us stepping up to the plate and making a difference. And you can donate your time, you can donate monies, there's a lot you can do to get involved. So we'll get into that a little bit later with the VFW and American Legion. There's a lot of different places, but these guys and these women, these men and women need our help. And I am so impressed with what I've learned with what the VFW does, American Legion and their organizations, the time and the commitment that they've put in to make sure that our soldiers and families of soldiers get help and get help in a time of need. So going back to the Independence Day, it's we're going to take from Wikipedia.org. Independence Day is a national holiday marked by lots of patriotic displays. Similar to other theme events, Independence Day celebrations often take place outdoors. It's a federal holiday, so all non-essential federal institutions like postal service and federal courts are closed. Years back, it wasn't always that way. Many families, have picnics, barbecues, and get with relatives. We've got streamers. We've got the red, white, and blue colors. Fireworks displays are occurring all over the place, parks, fairgrounds, town squares. And many places years ago, that what they did was that the night before the 4th was once a focal point of celebrations marked by raucous gatherings incorporating bonfires, and New England towns competed to build towering pyramids assembled from barrels and casks. They were lit at nightfall to usher in the celebration. The highest were in Salem, Massachusetts, on Gallows Hill, the famous site of the execution of 13 women and 6 men for witchcraft in 1692 during the Salem witch trials. And that's where the tradition of bonfires in there said persisted. That was the largest. It said composed. They had 40 tiers of barrels, and the tallest bonfires ever recorded. It's interesting to note that in 1791 was the first recorded use of Independence Day, in 1870, U.S. Congress made Independence Day an unpaid holiday. Finally, in 1938, Congress changed Independence Day to a paid holiday. Very, very, and so it actually, the 4th of July, it started on July 4th is when they say the Declaration of Independence Day was signed, and the 13 American colonies regarded themselves as a new nation, the United States of America, no longer part of the British Empire. There's speculation, some say it was signed on July 2nd, and then some are saying August. During the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain occurred on July 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence. You know, just on a side note, a lot of people say, hey, they don't want to go by the Constitution of the United States, but in rules and laws, and we're supposed to. I mean, this country was founded on the principle, and the Constitution of the United States has definitely held the glue, it's been a large part of holding the glue together. And I think if anyone listening has never really read through it, it would really be interesting. It would really be good for you to read through it and see what you think, because it's a lot of work went into this, and sure, things change, time change, but values aren't changing, hopefully. And it's worked. It worked really well. So the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain rule. After voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, which was prepared by a committee of five. Thomas Jefferson was its principal author. Congress debated and revised the wording of the Declaration, finally approving it on July 4th. And it's interesting, here is a note, a letter. John Adams had written to his wife Abigail the second day of July 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore. Isn't that amazing? He wrote that back 2 days before the independence of July 4th, and he wrote it to his wife. He was right, and here we are, 2016, still celebrating it. Historians have long disputed whether Congress actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, even though Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin all later wrote that they had signed it on that day. Many historians have concluded that the Declaration was signed nearly a month after its adoption on August 2nd, 1776, and not on July 4th. Does it really matter? I mean, we're so close in the time. Does it make a difference? You know, it was done. It was awesome, and praise God. Sometimes we think we're so evolved, but look at what's worked and worked well, and the values. I think if we could go back to, we've come a long way, and I don't think we should take rights and liberties away from people, but I think if we could go back to the basic values, it would be a lot easier. And integrity, to me, integrity is the largest, best asset any one of us can have. And it's one thing that's kind of starting to lack in a lot of places, and I think if we can get back to that, we're in good shape. This is some coincidental fun information for July 4th. Coincidentally, both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the only signers of the Declaration of Independence later to serve as presidents of the United States, died on the same day. Whoa. July 4th, 1826, which was the 50th anniversary of the Declaration. Although not a signer of the Declaration of Independence, another founding father who became president, James Monroe, died on July 4th, 1831, thus becoming the third president in a row who died on the holiday. I didn't know that. Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president, was born on July 4th, 1872. So far, he's the only U.S. president to have been born on Independence Day. I want to go through, because for those of you, it's kind of a little bit of trivia. Do those of you know which ones are the 13 first colonies? You know, we think about, I guess when you're thinking, they're traveling from England and then they're coming over the ocean and they're coming over to the land, they're going to hit the East Coast first, which is what they did. So it does make sense that the 13 colonies are going to go down the East Coast. But to me, I think it's interesting that you're talking 125 years later from when they settled to when it even, more than that actually, to when they actually had the first colony, first of the 13. So a little bit about observing, a little bit more about observing Independence Day. In 1777, 13 gunshots were fired in salute, once at morning and once again in the evening on July 4th. This was in Bristol, Rhode Island. Philadelphia celebrated the first anniversary in a manner a modern American would find quite familiar, an official dinner for the Continental Congress, toasts, 13 gun salutes, speeches, prayers, music, parades, troop reviews, and fireworks. Ships were decked in red, white, and blue. In 1778, from his headquarters at Ross Hall near New Brunswick, New Jersey, General George Washington, of course, later to be president, marked July 4th with a double ration of rum for his soldiers and an artillery salute. Across the Atlantic Ocean, Ambassadors John Adams and Benjamin Franklin held a dinner for their fellow Americans in Paris, France. In 1779, July 4th fell on a Sunday, so the holiday was celebrated on Monday, July 5th. In 1781, the Massachusetts General Court became the first state legislature to recognize July 4th as a state celebration. So it started in 1776 and took 5 years before they recognized it as a state celebration. Many, many songs, patriotic songs, accompanied the Independence Day. Can anyone guess? God Bless America. Let's see, National Anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, America the Beautiful, God Bless America. Oh, you remember this one, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, This Land is Your Land, Stars and Stripes Forever, and regionally, Yankee Doodle in the Northeastern States, Dixie in the Southern States. Some of the lyrics recall images of the Revolutionary War, of the War of 1812. Wow. Definitely. So it continues. All over in all the 50 states of U.S., we celebrate. Now, some other countries do have their celebrations, which are a little bit different. We notice a lot with fireworks now, they don't always... let fireworks are prohibited, but many places do let them still go on, and many communities will have it where the actual officials will actually do the fireworks and not let personal fireworks. But we have, so let's see, a salute of one gun for each state in the United States is called a salute to the Union. It's fired on Independence Day at noon by any capable military base. In 2009, New York City had the largest fireworks display in the country with over 22 tons. Wow, of fireworks exploded. Other major ones, Chicago, Lake Michigan, San Diego. I mean, we got all over the country, all over. It's just, the first week of July is typically one of the busiest American travel periods of the year, as many people celebrate July 4th and use that as an extended vacation. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to get into, so it's really, really interesting. There's a lot of notable celebrations. I was going to get back into a couple things here that we talk about. you want to call in too, 347-945-5428 and test your knowledge on Independence Day. Let's see, some notable celebrations. Now they also celebrate in the Philippines, okay, other countries. Philippines celebrate July 4th as its Republic Day to commemorate the day in 1946 when it ceased to be a U.S. territory and the United States officially recognized Philippine independence. July 4th was intentionally chosen by the United States because it corresponds to its Independence Day. That makes sense. And this day was observed in the Philippines as an Independence Day until 1962. And in 1964, the name of July 4th holiday was changed to Republic Day there. In Rwanda, July 4th is an official holiday known as Liberation Day, commemorating the end of the 1994 Rwanda genocide, in which the U.S. government also played a role. A national park in Denmark is said to hold the largest July 4th celebrations outside of the United States. Now, different countries, of course, have their Independence Days, you know, which you'll, if you're familiar with them, will know. It's wonderful. It really is really neat. So I'm going to, let's see, I want to get into and a little bit about the VFW and how you can donate and American Legion and just some other things you can do to help your fellow citizens get involved in your community. But before I do that, I'm going to run down the list. How many know which 13 colonies were established? Okay, in 1607, now remember, here we are, 1776, first having Independence Day. So it took quite a long time, a lot of work, before we got to where we got to get that in place. Virginia was the first colony in 1607. I'm going to list the colonies and I'm going to go back and read the dates just to give us a perspective of how long that took just to get to that point. Virginia was the first colony in 1607. John Smith and John Roth played an important role in that. New York was the second in 1626. Peter Minuit and Peter Stuyvesant played a role in that. Massachusetts, third colony in 1630. John Winthrop played a role. Okay, let's see. Maryland in 1633 was the fourth colony. George Calvert was involved in that. Rhode Island was the fifth colony in 1636. Roger Williams and Anne Hutchinson were involved. Connecticut was the sixth colony, 1636. Same year as Rhode Island. Okay, that makes sense. Close. New Hampshire in 1638 was a seventh colony, and John Mason was involved in that. Thomas Hooker was involved in Connecticut. They're famous people. I'm just wishing that wasn't what we're going to list. Delaware was the eighth colony in 1638. Peter Minuit. North Carolina, ninth colony, 1653. Lord's proprietors. South Carolina was the 10th colony in 1663, Lord's proprietors, 10 years later. New Jersey was the 11th colony in 1664, Lord Berkeley and George Carteret were involved. Pennsylvania, the 12th colony in 1682, William Penn, very, very famous. Georgia was the 13th colony in 1732, James Oglethorpe played a role in that. And I think that's 125. Look at that. 100 from the first one, it took 125 years to get to having the 13th colony. And it's history after that. Everybody knows what after that. But interesting. A lot of work, a lot of dedication, but it pays off, always pays off. And that's what we need now. We need it to continue, and we need to, have a lot of faith that it's going to work out. The United States is going to keep its groundwork done and pull itself together and it takes your help, my help, it takes all of us to get involved. Even the smallest bit of time makes a difference. We're going to take another quick break, come back, going to go over some of the other celebrations and get into how you can help out.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like ready, fire, aim. And you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
We are back, and this is Natalie Mullenix with Realty Universal Radio. And today we're celebrating, talking about Independence Day in the United States and how it got started in 1776, and how you can go and help out also where we are today. In helping with the VFWs and American Legion, helping our veterans, wounded soldiers, etc. So before we switch over to how you can help today, I just want to go look back to the July 4th celebrations and give some fun facts that we have. And I hope that you all have a good celebration this week. And it's good to keep all these in mind all the time, every day, and think of how lucky we are and how free we really are when we look around what's going on all over the world. And the whole world's working on it. And even though we have these attacks and terrorist attacks and things, which are horrible, and I pray for the victims and pray for families every day. We pray for safety. When we look at what's going on collectively, there's a lot of good out there, a lot of good out there. And I think we can make a difference and we can work on ourselves and help others, and there's always somebody to serve. So going back to Independence Day, on notable celebrations, originally entitled Yankee Doodle, this is one of several versions. Oh, there's several versions. Oh, there's painted by, let me see, you can't see this, so A.M. Willard, that came to be known as the Spirit of 76. There's a celebration that's often imitated or parodied. It's a familiar symbol of American patriotism. And that's with the Yankee Doodle, you know, they're playing the drums and walking with the flag and soldiers. And it's definitely a very famous scene. Held since 1785, the Bristol 4th of July Parade in Bristol, Rhode Island, is the oldest continuous Independence Day celebration in the United States. Since 1868, Seward, Nebraska has held a celebration in the same town square. In 1979, Seward was designated America's official 4th of July city, Small Town USA, by resolution of Congress. Seward has also been proclaimed, this is in Nebraska, Nebraska's official 4th of July city by Governor James Exon in proclamation. It's a town of about 6,000, swells to about 40,000 during July 4th. Can you imagine? I don't know about when living there, if you live there and then all of a sudden you've got 36,000 people coming in that week. They may not be that happy on July 4th, but hopefully they are. Since 1912, the Rebuild Society, a Danish-American friendship organization, has held a July 4th weekend festival that serves as a homecoming for Danish-Americans in the Rebuild Municipality of Denmark. Since 1959, the International Freedom Festival is jointly held in Detroit, Michigan, in Windsor, Ontario, during the last week of June as a mutual celebration. Awesome. Macy's Fireworks, that's been going on every year in New York City since 76. And they... Wow, the fireworks display was returned to Hudson River for the first time since 2000 to commemorate the 400th year anniversary of Henry Hudson's exploration of that river. Boston Pops Orchestra, oh gosh, there's just so many things that go on. Capitol Lawn in Washington, D.C. also has a free concert broadcast live by PBS, NPR, and American Forces Network. I'm sure in your community, everywhere, we have wonderful things. I know in Hawaii, we used the fireworks for years. I remember being a child and having the fireworks so loud. I mean, that they were everywhere. And now it's toned down some because of legalities and birds dying on the beaches and things happening. But there's still pretty huge celebration, and a lot of communities still have the fireworks. So, okay. So now, this always flies by, even when I'm doing all the talking or whether we have a guest on or not. Now, going to how you can help. There's so many organizations that help the military. We've got Wounded Warriors, USO, Navy Marine Corps, Puppies Behind Bars, Homes for Our Troops, USO. There's just so many that we won't have time to go over it all today. That's what I love about Google. You can Google and find out many, many places that are locally there. They're nationwide. But lots of times it's better to get into where you can help right in your town. You can also contact us, of course, at radio@realityuniversal.com or go to our website and fill out a form and let us know, and we'll get back to you with all the contact information as well. I want to talk about a little bit about the VFW. The VFW stands for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, a veteran that has been in a foreign war. They do so much work around our country, and each state they have their own organization, statewide, and then they have posts within the states. They have commanders, they have a role, they are so organized, and you can get more information at vfw.org. With the VFW, you're supposed to be a veteran of a foreign war to join. But if you had a father, a brother, if you had a family member that was a veteran, you can join also. And with the American Legion, they're another fantastic organization but you just have to have been in the military to join. You do not have to have been in a war. And they do so many not-for-profit, it's a non-for-profit organization. They do so many grassroots, are involved in legislation process with local districts to Capitol Hill. They help with communities. They do so, so much work. And always, which I hate, it's impossible for us. We'd almost have to do a show for each one individually. And just like our topics and what we go into to try to give food for thought, get people involved, we never have enough time in this hour to go over everything, 45 minutes to an hour. So I just want to try to get in as much as we can. So the VFW, it traces its roots back to 1899, when the veterans of the Spanish-American War in 1898 and the Philippine Insurrection 1899 to 1902, founded local organizations to secure rights and benefits for their service. Many, many soldiers arrived home wounded or sick. There was no medical care, veterans' pension for them, and they were left to care for themselves. Some of them. So what happened is some of these veterans banded together and formed organizations with what would become known as the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States. After chapters were formed in Ohio, Colorado, and Pennsylvania, the movement quickly gained momentum. By 1915, membership grew from 5,000. By 1936, it was almost 200,000. And I think now they're looking at like over 1.7 million, almost 2 million members. And its auxiliaries contribute to more. The members and its auxiliaries contribute to more than 8.6 million hours of volunteerism in the community, including participation in Make a Difference Day and National Volunteer Week. It's such a great organization to get into and see, because they're getting into the homes, they're getting in the hospitals. There's so many high-need areas that they're helping with, and it's just fantastic. Since then, the VFW's voice has been instrumental in establishing the Veterans Administration, creating a GI Bill for the 20th century, the development of the National Cemetery System, and the fight for compensation for Vietnamese vets exposed to Agent Orange and veterans diagnosed with Gulf War Syndrome. In 2008, the VFW won a long-fought victory with the passing of the GI Bill for the 21st century, giving expanded educational benefits to America's active duty members and members of the Guard and Reserves fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. The VFW has also fought for improving VA medical centers for women veterans. Besides helping fund the creation of the Vietnam, Korean War, World War II, and Women in Military Service Memorials, the VFW in 2005 became the first veterans organization to contribute to building the new Disabled Veterans for Life Memorial, which opened in 2010. So there is so much that they do, and they need your help. They really need your help. It's easy to donate. You can donate time. You can get into each state will have their Wounded Warriors division, so you don't always want to go nationally. You can go locally and see how you can help. They need blankets. They need supplies. A lot of wounded veterans are, you know, they're in places that women and men, and a lot of men, because of the way the structure has been with the wars, in places where they're by themselves, and maybe they don't have any family, and they could even just have somebody come visit them, bring them a book, talk to them. There's just such a need. And the VFW also, they started a National Home for Children that serves as a living memorial to America's veterans by helping our nation's military and veteran families during difficult times. This is actually in, I believe it's Missouri. I have to look this up. They were founded in 1925. Oh, it's in Michigan. Was it Michigan? I'm saying Missouri. It's in Michigan. They were founded in 1925 as a place where the family members were left behind. For the family members, mothers, children, brothers, and sisters could remain together, keeping the family circle intact even when the servicemen didn't come home. Today, families face different challenges: reintegration into the public, post-traumatic stress, high unemployment, rehabilitation from injuries, among others. The National Home has evolved over decades to meet those challenging needs. And it's just amazing what they have. There's individual states have, you can go to the VFW, they have different programs set up. So say you're short on money and you're a veteran, you just need $1,000, which $1,000 is a lot of money if you don't even have money to put food on the table at the time. They have different grants set up in different areas where you can get help. So I know a lot of people are used to contacting the VA directly, but may not have thought that you can contact the VFW, American Legion, so these different, so many organizations. If you have a computer, you can go online and Google the VFW.org, or you can Google who helps the veterans. There's so much going on, and everybody needs help. I mean, if you can donate $5, $10, $20, $100, $500, whatever it is, it really does not go to waste. This money is not going to salaries. This is fully volunteer with the VFW. You've got all these people in there working, helping as volunteers. It's amazing what's going on, and they need your help. And it just can make such a big difference. They have a warrior canine connection that actually is going to be moving their headquarters to Schaefer Farm area in Seneca Creek State Park. That's over in Maryland, I believe. It's a nonprofit organization that helps veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress and brain injuries train service dogs for other veterans. So the new location is going to help them add an apprentice service dog training program that's going to offer art, music therapy, as well as acupuncture, eventually adding equine therapy and therapeutic farming and gardening. There's a setting, it's close to Walter Reed, which helps a lot of vets when they come back with, especially with disabled, with injuries. Walter Reed Hospital has been around forever. So this helps people transition. But the one thing, if you're a vet listening to this and you've been wounded or you're going through post-traumatic stress or you're not alone. You're not alone. There's so much help out there, and we love you, and people love you. And I think a lot was learned from the Vietnam War when soldiers came back, and my father was in the Vietnam War, and there wasn't really help for anybody. And I think that's changing now. But what's beautiful is these veterans love veterans, and they don't want to ever see their guys or women and women be distraught or be out. So these guys work super, super hard. We're going to have, we're going to bring on different guests throughout the year too, from the VFW and some of the other organizations also, so you can hear firsthand their hearts and their work. I'm just so impressed with what they do. It's amazing. And so, but everybody needs help because, again, this is volunteer. One of the problems I see that the VFW ends up having that the American Legion may not have as much, and is that because a lot of people, you're supposed to be a veteran of a foreign war, their membership is not going to be as high as if you just have to be in the military. But you should contact them because, again, families can join. And I hope they change some of that, the way that works at some point, because it's definitely makes it difficult as far as, because they have to do a lot of fundraisers and other things and under campaigns. They also have there's an Operation Campout, which where families actually get they actually get a free trip, free vacation camp out, all paid for with or at a hotel. It's done in different states have different states have, of course, there's a lot of chapters all over the country. Different states have different programs that they offer, and but it's wonderful, and it's free, and it's there for you. So whether you're on the side of, well, hey, we need to volunteer, or you're on the side where you need the help, it's there. It really is there, and these guys love you. They also have parks. Like in Maryland, for example, there's 72 state parks that provide activities such as hiking, biking, fishing, swimming, horseback riding, team building, rope courses, hunting and camping to aid in the well-being and establish a new base for people to get back in, back into everything. So, because these injuries, you can't. I mean, people go to help our country and come back with these, disabled lifetime injuries and need help, and families need it too. So, that's what I thought with Independence Day, we're talking about this, and again, there's so many organizations that we could go over, we just can't do it all, that the VFW.org is a great one to look up and see where we can help or you can help. Just a couple. We're almost at the end of today, and I hope you wish you guys all a happy July 4th. Just a couple quick little stories. That I just want to mention a couple quick ones that with the VFW National Home for Children, when it started, the idea was placed back in 1923, and it started in 25. The beginning of today's VFW National Home for Children lies with a poignant story of a young girl named Amy Ross. On a cold February in 1922, 23-year-old Amy Ross walked into the office of Dr. Clarence L. Candler, the VFW Department of Michigan commander, with the idea to find jobs for thousands of veterans who were walking the streets of Detroit looking for work. While the task seemed insurmountable, Dr. Candler turned over the limited facilities of the VFW to Mrs. Ross, and she went to work. What followed is history. Over 9,000 veterans were found employment. He wrote in November 1924 issue of the Golden Stripe, Michigan's VFW newspaper, "But not all of you know that the present high standing of the VFW in Michigan, our wonderful headquarters in the General Motors building, the Yanks Convalescent Camp, Inc., our 300 grave burial plot at Roseland Cemetery, and our new $500,000 VFW National Home, Inc., all came as a direct result of Amy Ross's sacrifices for the veterans of this community. See what one person can do, and you are that person. We can all do it. Let's all band together, too, and make this happen and give back and serve. Just never forget to serve. Our veterans have served us, and we need to serve them. To all of you out there, I wish you a wonderful, wonderful Independence Day, and I wish you peace. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.